Psalm 118. We're going to be specifically looking at verses 22 to 29, but we divided this up into three messages just simply because there was so much here, and I've never been one who believes you need to be in a hurry when you're studying the Bible. You need to squeeze out everything you possibly can. And so if you'll remember, we said Psalm 118 seems to be to describe David or some other man who God had appointed by divine choice to a high and honorable office in Israel. And yet this elect champion found himself rejected by his friends, rejected by his fellow countrymen, and while at the same time he was being violently opposed by his enemies. And with the faith he had in his God, he battles for his appointed place. And in due time, he obtained it in such a way as to greatly express the power and goodness of the Lord, which we've studied. He then goes up to the house of the Lord to offer sacrifice and thanksgiving, and all of the people bless him and wish him abundant prosperity. Well, tonight we're going to finish up this psalm, and we're going to be talking specifically about the champion of our faith. And I hope the champion of your faith is the Lord Jesus Christ, because he's the only champion who's worthy. Amen. And so these verses here speak specifically of Jesus Christ. So if you're in Psalm 118, be finding verse 22, and if you're there, say amen. The stone which the builders refused is become the headstone of the corner. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Save now, I beseech thee, O Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, send now prosperity. Blessed be he that cometh in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you out of the house of the Lord. God is the Lord, which hath showed us light. Bind the sacrifice with cords, even unto the horns of the altar. Thou art my God, and I will praise thee. Thou art my God, I will exalt thee. O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Well, I hope that you begin your mornings by saying, God, I love you. You are my God, and I'm going to praise you. And then I hope, as we think about this, that you think about exalting God. And I hope you live your life in a way that you want to exalt God, that you want to lift God up. I hope when you're out in the community that you're a light that is exalting God. I hope when people ask you, how are things going? You say, well, let me tell you what God is doing in my life. Let me tell you what God is doing at our church. Let me tell you what God is doing in my family. Give testimony to God, because when you share those things, you create a thirst in somebody else. And then I hope you thank God. You know, one of the things I do when I get up in the morning, and this is just me, y'all figure it out for yourself, but the first thing I do is I tell God I love him. And the second thing I do is say, God, thank you for giving me the start to another day. Because I don't know if I'll end this day, only you do. But Lord, wherever you take me today, I just want to thank you for the opportunity to be up, breathing, and about. And Buddy shared some of that in his prayer. Thank you for the health that we can all be here tonight. Amen. Hallelujah. God is good. But what I want to note here tonight, first of all, is found in verse 22. The stone which the builders refused has become the headstone of the corner. Now the people are rejoicing. They're magnifying God. They're worshiping for bringing his chosen servant into office, which has been allotted to him by a divine decree. A wise king, a valiant leader, is a stone by which the national fabric is built up. We don't have a stone in America today because our national fabric is not being built up by the leaders of our nation. There was a time when there were stones in the office of the president and our nation was being built up because they were following God, but that is not the case today. And so David had been rejected by those in authority, but God had placed him, you'll remember, in the position of highest honor and in greatest usefulness, making him the chief cornerstone of the state of Israel. And you'll remember it was through David's line that the cornerstone, the Lord Jesus Christ, came. God told David, you remember the promise that there would be one who would always sit on his throne. And that one is the Lord Jesus Christ because he is eternal. Well, there were many other great leaders through the centuries of whom God has used as a chief cornerstone for one reason or another. But none of them is applicable to this text because this text is speaking about Jesus Christ and he is the cornerstone of everyone's faith. He is the living stone. He's the tried stone, which God himself appointed from of old. And from reading the Gospels, we know that the Jewish builders, the Pharisees, the scribes, the Sadducees, the Herodians, they rejected the Son of God with disdain. They could see no excellency in him and that they should build their life upon him. He did not fit in with their idea of a national church. He came to change the church. Can you imagine such a thing? They were so comfortable doing church that when the Lord God showed up, they didn't even recognize him. All they were was afraid that somebody was going to change the way they did church. Well, that sounds like a lot like modern America today, doesn't it? And thus they concluded that he was a stone from another quarry. So what'd they do? They spit on him. They beat him. They ridiculed him. And they cast him away. They poured out their contempt upon him. Now I want you to think about America today. And I want you to think about Christ today. And as a Christian, do you realize you are a Christ one? That's what it means to be a Christian. I am a Christ one. You are a Christ one. Jesus died for you. He died for me. He died for all. Christians are Christ one, so we ought to live like we belong to Christ. We ought not to live like we come from another quarry. We ought not to live like the world. We ought to live as if Jesus Christ lives in us. Because when we get saved, who comes to live inside of us? The Holy Spirit of God. And we're warned in Scripture, remember, don't grieve them, don't quench the work. Well, so many people today are pouring out contempt upon Christ. Every time they attack a Christian, who are they pouring their contempt on? The living God, the foundation stone. Who are they rejecting? The living God, the foundation stone. The national fabric of our nation today has rejected, poured its contempt out on God. You know, you can pray in any name, but you can't pray in Jesus' name. That goes on in the public square. Why can't Christians just go along to get along? Why can't they behave themselves? Why, they're just smelly Walmart people, them fundamental, no good, stubborn, stiff-necked people. That's what the left says of us, but they're not saying it of us. Who are they saying it of? Jesus Christ. The world has rejected Christ. And so we need to understand, Peter said regarding the truth of this in Acts 4 and 11, this is the stone which was set at naught of you builders. In other words, you builders of Israel rejected this stone. You builders of Israel crucified this stone. You builders of Israel. They reckon it would be nothing. And you know, Christians today are told, people say you become a Christian because you need a crutch to lean on. Well, hallelujah. I'm glad I got a crutch. What about you? I need something to lean on. I need something to stand on. I'm not strong enough to live in this world by myself. What about you? Thank God we have a cornerstone. Thank God we have a crutch, and His name is Jesus Christ. And we need to be proud of that. The only reason they ridicule Him is because they're rejecting Him. They're trying to build their life on something else. And think of the ways that people try to build their life. Some people try to build their life on one relationship after another. Some people try to build their life on the pornography of the internet. Some people try to build their life on alcohol or drugs or some other thing. And it doesn't have to be a bad thing. Some people just try to build their life on anything other than what they need to be building their life on, Jesus Christ. But in raising Him from the dead, and understand this, there's only two kingdoms in the world. And Satan, this is Satan's kingdom. We're in the wilderness. We're just traveling through. So who are all those people who are against Christians and Jesus actually serving? Serving the devil. They're serving his purposes. If we say we're a Christ one, shouldn't we serve Jesus Christ? Shouldn't we live for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? We need to exalt Him, friends. God exalted Him by raising Him from the dead to be the head of the church. When you look up at that cross, what do you see? You ever notice the cross is always, I don't care what sanctuary you go into. Have you ever seen the cross at the back of a church? It's always at the front. You know, when we come into this church doesn't belong to you. It doesn't belong to me. I'm not the head of it, neither are you. But sometimes we act like it, don't we? Sometimes we're like spoiled little children. We want it our way. But you know, when we look up there, there's the head of the church. His name is Jesus. He died for it. It was His precious blood that flowed, not mine, not yours. He gave His life to save our sorry souls. Now, you may not like that, but I don't care. You are a sorry soul, and so am I. We all needed a Savior, for we'd all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Amen? We are all headed for death. Hell was going to be our home until the Holy Spirit of God reached down, convinced our mind that we were lost. And then He convicted our heart so that we could get saved. And so, He's the very pinnacle of beauty and glory. You know, Isaiah said He was marred than any other man, more than any other man. There was nothing in Him that should make us desire Him. But God said He's the very pinnacle of the church's beauty and the church's glory. And since that time, because Israel rejected Him, and Steve's been teaching this upstairs in my Sunday school class, Israel rejected the Messiah. And that opened the door for us Gentiles. And now we've been grafted in. We've been given the opportunity to serve the living God, joining God. Removed the door of partition, and He brought Gentile and Israelite together in one. One stately temple. The church of the living God. And He's the binding cornerstone, making both one, because He is the chief cornerstone. You know, when God looks at us tonight, He ought to see one body. That's what we're called, aren't we? One body in Christ. Now, there's many individuals in here, but we ought to operate as if we're one body. Because we have one Lord, one God, one Savior, one baptism, one God and Father of us all. There ought to be. Well, my hands are different from my ears, aren't they? My nose can't do what my eyes can do. Many different parts to a body, isn't there? But yet it has to work in unison to get anything done. And you know, if the church would just pray together, if the church would work in unison together, one for all and all for one, live with grace, overlook differences. Do you imagine how much more God could do through His church? Sadly, the church in the world today spends more time fighting amongst themselves than it does serving the Lord God. But He is the binding cornerstone. And God's Word teaches that Jesus has the preeminence in all things. He is the principal stone of the whole house of God. Everything rises if you build your life on that stone. And everything falls if you reject building your life on that stone. Now, if you know anything about buildings at all, you know that most of the old stately buildings, no matter where you look, they all have a cornerstone with a date on them, don't they? And oftentimes when that building is erected, when that cornerstone is laid, they hold a solemn assembly, a ribbon-cutting ceremony, if you will, for the breaking of the ground, and a ribbon-cutting ceremony, if you will, for the dedicating of the building, when that cornerstone is laid. It's looked upon with some sort of special significance. How much more should we look upon the Lord Jesus Christ with all of our significance? You know, we sang a song, I believe it was on Sunday, without Him I would be. The opposite is that with Him, I'm everything. We need Him, amen? He remains forever as the foundation of all of our hopes, the glory of all of our joys, and the uniting bond in all of our fellowship. So I want you to think about this. He's the head of the church. And by Him, the Bible teaches we are fitly, the church is fitly joined and framed together. Now, you know, when a church is out of joint, that means somebody else is trying to be the head in the church. Somebody else is trying to take the preeminence in the church. Somebody has given Satan a foothold in the church with which to work through, because the church should be fitly joined and framed together so that the glory of Christ would shine out into all of this world. Now, if you've ever been in a church of division, you're not fitly joined and framed together, are you? It's sort of like when you get sick. I mean, one day you're just moving along, everything's working great. And when you get to be my age, you discover something new every day. You say, well, that didn't used to be there. Well, okay. Or you get sick and something's out of joint. You just don't move, you don't act, you don't feel the way you did. Well, that's what it's like to be in a church with division in it. Somebody, or maybe more than one somebody, is trying to run the church, if you will. Trying to have it their way, if you will. But they're not the head of the church. God is. And in a church, there should be unity, uniformity. That doesn't mean we're all going to think the same thing. We're all going to, but we might even disagree. But we go on. When the church votes, we don't have a hissy fit if it don't go our way. We just go on in grace and unity. The church must always build upon Christ. And yet, even in the world today, even among the church, but even in our world today, there are still those who are trying to lay another foundation rather than the foundation that has already been laid. And Paul spoke about this, and I wanted to share this with you. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 10 to 15. You can just listen and maybe take a note so you can look it up later on your own. But according to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another man build thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. And you know somebody in heaven who was saved by fire. His name is Lot. There's a man in heaven today with a smell of smoke on him. Peter wrote, Lot was saved, yet so as by fire, but you know, down here in this world, Lot lost everything because he tried to lay another foundation. And when he went home to heaven, he didn't have any rewards because he didn't live for the Lord. He vexed his righteous soul trying to live with one foot in the world, one foot in heaven, down in a place called Sodom and Gomorrah, and God utterly destroyed that place. And you remember Lot's wife, she looked behind and she became a pillar of salt. Lot was saved. Yet so as by fire, Peter said. That means he lost everything he lived for down here. When he went home to heaven, he has no rewards. Can you imagine if it was you? Revelation chapter 4 talks about how the saints of God will cast their crowns before the Lord, because only he's worthy of a reward. We'll receive him, but we're going to give him back as an act of worship. But could you imagine there you are in heaven? You made it by the hair of your chinny chin chin. You were saved, yet so as by fire. So there you stand. And everybody else is casting their crowns. And there you are, empty handed, with nothing to throw. Because you live for yourself. You vexed your righteous soul. What are you building your life upon? Are you building it upon the sure foundation that is Jesus Christ? You know, there's many churches in this world today. They've lost their first love. They don't build upon Christ. They're trying to lay another foundation. And if they make it home to heaven, they're going to be saved, yet so is by fire. And how sad. How sad that is. There are many today who are seeking to lay another foundation who one day are going to suffer great loss. Now, we don't think about the rewards very often, do we, in our daily walk with Christ? Some people say, well, I don't need to be paid to be good. Imagine some dumb person saying something like that. Well, I don't need no reward when I get to heaven, just as long as I'm saved. How dumb can you be? God rewards the faithful. One man had five, and he was faithful, gained another five, didn't he? One man had two, was faithful, gained another two. One man had one, did nothing with it. You remember when Jesus came, he said, take from the man who had one and give it to the man who has ten. And put them out where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. You know, there are going to be people who are saved who are going to be ashamed when they're in heaven. And the Bible talks about that in 1 John 2 and 28. So how are you building your life? Are you laying it on for Jesus? Are you laying it down for Jesus? Or are you living for yourself? Now, this is important because you can only live. You're either living for the devil or you're living for Jesus. There's only two kingdoms. And nobody can live with one foot in the world and one foot in heaven. If you're living with one foot in the world, you're not pleasing to God. But you sure are pleasing the devil. Listen, the gospel is very simple, and it should be kept simple. But there are many today who are trying to make it complicated. The gospel is this and nothing more. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he was raised again the third day according to the Scriptures. That's the gospel, friend. Jesus came, Jesus loved. Jesus died for me, and he died for you. He was buried. He rose again the third day. That's the gospel. That's the foundation we need to be building our lives upon. It's what the church needs to be building. Foolish builders who reject this will one day be ground to powder when the chosen stone falls upon them. The exalted position of Jesus Christ in his work, in his church, that's not the work of man. You know, we hear this a lot. Maybe you've heard it too. I've heard it a lot through my years of ministry. We need to start doing church around here. Friends, we were never called to do church. We were called to be the church. We need to be the church in this world. We don't need to do church. We need to be church. We need to be about our Father's business, just like Jesus was. We need to walk in his footsteps, just like Jesus did. The church doesn't depend upon its ministers. It depends upon the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the foundation. Jesus wasn't exalted by the goodness of human nature, nor by the forces of human reasoning. God exalted Jesus Christ himself. And one day every knee will bow, and every tongue will confess, Jesus is Lord. And so this staggers the adversary. For he cannot understand it because he knows nothing of the Holy Spirit. Yet as believers in the Lord Jesus, we can actually see it. It's not in our thoughts or our hopes or our prayers alone. The marvelous work of the Lord is actually before our eyes. Now, I don't know, how many of you were here on Sunday, in the building on Sunday, or you watched online? Pretty much everybody? Did you watch the morning service? Did you see the marvelous work that was before our eyes? When that little girl got up, and began to sing. That little girl got saved not too long ago. That little girl had her beginning during COVID when her grandparents came in to sing a song on an Easter Sunday, and she was down here on the floor dancing all over the place. And just a carrying on for fair, couldn't carry a tune in a bucket. But no one was here except for me sitting right here while they were singing. And Randy up there running the camera. But we've seen her grow up. We've seen her get saved. We've seen her granddaddy baptize her. And now we see her singing her heart out for the Lord. But we also saw it in the speaker as he came and humility and humbleness to thank the church for faithfully giving to Mission Dignity, for people that we will never see, that we'll probably never know. But somebody recognized the faithfulness of the church, and wasn't it good to hear somebody say thank you? Because the glory belongs to God, not to us. We rejoice in what God was doing. And then the speaker's words. And oh, what a message for the church. It reminds us to be grace-filled because we've been saved by grace. And we need to be careful with our words. We need to take notice of the actions. And we need to leave the results up to God. Well, that's the gospel right there. Our God is an awesome God. By faith, we know that Jesus reigns. By faith, we can feel his power at work in our church. By faith, we perceive it so. Faith sees our master far above principality and all power. You know, and next, this week, when you look up at the cross, I hope you give your worship to God. I hope you sing with all your heart, because nobody can worship God for you but you. And it's a sin not to worship God. It's a sin not to praise God. He has all power, all dominion, all authority. Faith sees Jesus far above every name that is named or will be named in this world or in the world to come. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Oh, how sweet the name. There's nothing greater than Jesus. Faith rejoices when we see God by means of weakness defeat the powerful. Jesus uses the weak things of the world to confound the wise. That's what the Bible teaches us. Faith sees the invisible Spirit of God exalting His Son in human hearts in the teeth of fierce opposition. And you know one thing that's changed in our world from when we all first got saved? We're living in a world of fierce opposition today, aren't we? And yet, something still remains true. One in God is a majority. One person willing to stand with God can defeat every evil in this world. One person with God. Faith sees it. Faith knows it. Does it not? Just think about our community for a minute. I like to review history because, you know, it helps us count our blessings and remember the great things that God has done. There was a time when they wanted to bring in this ungodly policies into our school district, but Faith stood up at the Board of Supervisors meeting. 700 people of faith came out to a board meeting. 700 people said, no, this isn't happening here. Opposition was on one side, and they sure got quiet in a hurry. And you know what? We don't have that in our school system right now. Faith stood up in this past year's vote. Three people who were trying to bring that into our community did not get elected because Faith stood up. Jesus said no. You know, they say Russell County is God's country, don't they? What makes it God's country? When Faith stands up in the presence of Jesus Christ and says, I will stand against the ungodliness of this world. That's us. But it's Jesus in us. The adversary has not the faith, so he cannot see what we see. Look at this. The age of grace. Blessed be he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Verse 26. Verse 25, save now, I beseech thee, O Lord. The age of grace has enabled men everywhere to plead for the Lord Jesus Christ to save them, deliver them, and sanctify them. The age of grace has allowed the church to be established and built up through the salvation of countless sinners. Because Jesus Christ is our chief cornerstone. The church, that's you and I. Church isn't this building, the church is its people. We're strengthened. He enables us to continue. He beautifies us and He perfects us. We have been given His Holy Spirit to indwell us. We've been given and to seal us for the day of our salvation. It is through the Holy Spirit that we become enlightened to our sorrowful state. We are all at our best, poor men. But remember what the psalmist said? This poor man cried, and the Lord saved him out of all of his troubles. We're convicted when we fail. We're brought to repentance. We have that wonderful bar of soap. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and what? Just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We've enlisted ourselves under the banner of our chief cornerstone. And with the light of salvation's knowledge, we have great joy, don't we? You know, I was thinking about this. Really don't matter what we're going through, because we got the joy of Jesus in our heart. When someone that we love passes, it's just goodbye for a very short time. But we're going to see them again. If they're saved, the Bible promises that when God comes for us, He brings those who went before us with Him when He comes for us. We're going to look at Jesus and we're going to see all of our loved ones. That's God's promise to us. We get down, we get sick, we think, well, I don't got no strength left. And then we remember that promise. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I'm going to be all right. I might be in a tough position, but God knows. And that's all that matters. God has counted me worthy for whatever state I'm at. So in whatever state I am, I can be content knowing that God has it under control. The old song reminds us that God's got the whole world in His hands and God's got you and me in His hands. He's an awesome God, isn't He? We got joy no matter what we go through, because we were never meant to live here for forever anyway. We just are passing through. The worst thing that can happen to us is that somebody could kill us. And you know what they do when they do that? They just send us home to heaven early. It doesn't get any better than that, does it? You know, their job is killing, but our job is dying. And by when we die, everything we've ever lived for and said about Jesus is proven true. Think about that. God made a day on purpose just for us. Some people are celebrating birthdays today. Barbara Short is one. Long time ago, God made a day just for Barbara Short. It was her day, called a birthday. You got one and I got one. God created you and I because we were special. He thought of us. Think about that. The King of all creation gave you a life because He had a thought about you. He said, I need you. And we hadn't even done anything yet, had we? And He loves us unconditionally, so we can't do anything to lose His love, and we can't do anything to gain more of His love. Unconditional love is love completely. He loves us. He loves us so much that He sent His Son to the cross to die for us, to bear our sin, and He put all the righteousness of God on us. How great it is to be a child of the King. Well, the closing song of the champion is this. Thou art my God, verse 28, and I will praise thee. Well, let me ask you, do you have a lot to praise God for tonight? I think you do. And thou art my God, I will exalt thee. Are you encouraged to go out and live more for Him tomorrow than you did today? Maybe you slipped a little bit today. Maybe you weren't thinking clearly today. Maybe you did something you know you ought not to have done, but and you're sorry for it and you've repented of it, but can you give thanks and say, God, thank you for forgiving me? Thank you, God, for loving me so much, because isn't that what we do with our children when they messed up? Now, sometimes we had to paddle them. Sometimes we might have even had to ground them. Can I ask you, how many of you got a licking when you were as a child? Raise your hand. Switches, yeah. And you never wanted to go pick your own switch. But if you did, I hope you picked the biggest branch you could find, because it couldn't swing that fast then. And they couldn't hit you that hard. But we got reasons we can give thanks to God. You know, Charlotte found out today she's going to have a heart catheterization next week. And you know what I say? Praise God. He counts her worthy for it. He already knows what He's going to do through it. He already knows what's going to take place in it. He knows what's going to happen to Gordon tomorrow, what's going to go on with Marsha on Friday, what's going on with Jill next week. And He knows what's going on with you and I. And He's an awesome God. And so as we think about this song, oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Thank you, God, that I get to start another day. You know, if I make it across the parking lot to the parsonage tonight and I make it into my bed tonight, I'll be able to say, thank you, God, for giving me a whole nother day. And if I die tonight, Lord, remember me. And I'm going to be home with you. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, it's all of God, isn't it? Oh, we need to be building our lives on that cornerstone. We need to be building our church on that cornerstone. We need to be exalting God in our community. We need to be praising Him everywhere we go. We need to be thanking Him. And we need to be living for Him in the world in which we're living today. Amen. Brother James, would you close us in prayer? I'm going to put my hands together so I can't talk no more. And if you'll close us in prayer.
Father in heaven, Lord, we are so thankful to you. God, we need to be so much more thankful than we are, because we can never thank you enough for all your goodness and all your grace and love and all your blessings. Lord, we thank you that you are the cornerstone, that you are the solid rock. And Lord, just help us to be mindful to build our lives on you and do the things that, Lord, would build up our faith and our other people's faith in you. And Lord, just lead us as we go. Lord, we pray for those that are lost, that haven't come to you, God, that your Holy Spirit would bring conviction in their hearts, that they realize, Lord, that what that means. And God, if you just give them a glimpse, that they can see. And Lord, I pray that they would come to you not so much out of fear, but out of your grace of what you've done to rescue us from that eternal damnation. And Lord, how much you loved us, that you would die, that you would take that sin on us, on yourself, and bear it, Lord, and the shame and the guilt, and Lord, the being forsaken by the Father. But Lord, you knew that you had faith in the Father, that he would raise you up. And Lord, you went through all of that agony and all of that. You did it freely for us because you loved us, Lord. So help us to see that. Help those that are lost to see that you're not just a dictator or someone who just wants to mess with people's lives, but or that you don't even exist at all. But Lord, help them to see that you are God, that you do exist, you're real, and life is very short. And I pray, God, that you just help them to come to realize that and want to give their heart to you. Lord, we just thank you again for your grace and your love. And Lord, we do lift up those that are getting ready to have surgery, Charlotte, Marcia, Gordon, and Jill, others that have had surgery. And Lord, we pray for your healing touch. Lord, for those that are grieving right now or hurting, those who are addicted or facing things in their life that they just seem like they just can't get out of, Lord, that there's no hope, there's no way out. I pray, Father, that you'd help them to see you, that you are the great deliverer, you are the great Savior. Lord, we thank you for that. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.